Hey guys, Adrian here. It's just Dwight and myself on this episode as we discuss and reflect upon our panels that we moderated at this year's Lightbox Expo online. A blast was had by all as the panelists shared laughs, insights, and collaborated on tremendous art pieces in each panel. In fact, you can check out the video for both panels and art jams right now on the Sidebar Forever YouTube channel. A huge thanks to Bobby Chu, Lightbox Expo, and Wacom for allowing us to host the panels. We also remark upon the recent passings of Chadwick Boseman and Ruth Bader Ginsburg, two luminaries who left indelible marks upon our culture. And don't forget to subscribe and follow Sidebar Forever online wherever you get your podcast.
Good morning, Dr. Silberman. How's the knee?
Did you just have a brain fart?
I know Taekwondo.
Stop eating my sesame cake.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Fuck with me, and we'll see who shits on the sidewalk.
Come quietly, or there will be trouble.
Clearly, I wasn't talking to you, big titties. You cherub-looking motherfucker.
While you were still learning how to spell your name, I was being trained to conquer galaxies.
The real question is, what are those?
Welcome back to Sidebar Forever. you only detect two voices on this particular episode. One of them is myself. I'm Adrian Johnson.
And I'm Dwight Clark.
And we're glad that you joined us for a retrospective on Lightbox Expo. Both of us were honored to be invited to host a couple of panels last weekend for the show. Huge thanks to Bobby Chu and to Wacom for allowing us to host the panels.
Exactly.
You know, and it was a lot of fun. So we're definitely going to go ahead and recount that. You know, we'll go ahead and roll right into it, man.
Right.
Dwight's panel was actually on that Friday. I believe that was the 11th.
It was the 11th. Yep, sure was.
Yeah, Friday the 11th. Yeah, yeah. So he kicked off the weekend, you know, with his panel. And what was your panel about, man?
It was called Neo-Creolution, which basically was a summary of the path of new creative black voices in art was the idea. And it had a various stalwart and brand new artists as well as, well, not brand new, but artists which people aren't probably very familiar with, but should be familiar behind the scenes. That are very, very profound, man. Some really interesting artists like we stated earlier. I'd say the highlight of the artists were, or the headliner was Mr. Everett Downing Jr., who's an Oscar award winning artist of Hair Love from 2019 on Netflix. Mm-hmm. He's done things like Captain Underpants and Toy Story: The Time Forgot, Penguins of Madagascar, Monster University. His resume is thick. I mean, this guy's been doing it for a long time, and he's getting some of the new accolades he deserves with that Hair movie he did last year. We also have artists like Phil Boutte from Black Panther, The Wrinkle in Time, Inception. This guy is an awesome concept artist, man. I was thrilled at his last minute addition that Bobby, you know, threw in on us too. I should mention too as well that also Jim DeMonaco's is a definite big part of the whole convention setup from Emerald City Comic Con. Mm-hmm. Kristen Garland, who does visual development for various animation shorts, as well as A Sort of Light that Bobby Chu did.
Nico in A Sort of Light.
Nico in A Sort of Light, yep. Got to get that right, because Nico
is
a prominent character. Yeah, Mr. Justin Copeland, who's a story artist at DC, animated stuff. Mr. Chase Connolly, he's also an animated storyboard artist. This is a hard one, but if it's Sinachi, Adrian, or Jakewi.
And that's the reason I remembered him, because Adrian.
and that's just funny. that's how I address him in the panel. I lead up to it and say, I want to get this right, if Sinachi. And he's like, I said Adrian. And he's like, oh, well, I was expecting you to say my African name the wrong way.
Yeah, but you know, it's funny, D. I was watching the panel at the same time live.
Right.
And when you said Adrian, I perked up. I was like,
Can he see me?
Right. Right. I had no idea you were there. I'm glad that you were, man. It was nice, you know, nice to have her, you know, in the background, man, knowing that you were there to support me and watch me and stuff. Then there was Mr. Kofi Ofosu, who was awesome. Sorry, Kofi. I call you Kofi. You're awesome. And you're one of the headliners to me, man, because you have a lot of profound, interesting things to say about learning, you know. I mean, you really address the issue in a way which I think people often overlook, because, you know, it's too easy for us to say a lot of ways as creatives, as artists, when we're trying to learn, you know, I don't have all these things we need to learn. I don't have all these tools in front of me I need to learn. I don't know how to do certain things. And Kofi was very succinct in addressing, you know, look, I come from across the pond. I come from across the world. I come from a different country where things aren't as accessible as stuff you guys have. But yet, I use my resources that I had to get the things I wanted and needed to increase my skill set, to allow me to be, you know, viable in the field that I'm in.
Right.
You know, and he wasn't bragging about it. He just said it very, very interesting and engagingly and very, very succinctly. And I thank him for that. That put a nice little encapsulation of what the creative verve needs to be an energy for making this thing happen for ourselves as people.
Yeah, if you're hungry and you really want something, you have a goal, man, you will make it happen.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. Then there's Mr. DJ Welch, who he's an art lead at Twitter right now. And he also works on Star Wars Rebels and various other personal projects he's working on too as well. And then, of course, our longtime friend and cohort, Mr. Sanford Green.
Yes, sir.
You know, from Bitterroot fame and DC Marvel Comics and animation and the 1000 and the list goes on and on and on, man.
And he just recently received his Eisner Award for Bitterroot as well.
That's right.
So congrats to Sanford.
That's right. All right, clap it up. And and he also did he had a nice little reception. He did the Wu-Tang thing, bro. You know?
That's right.
Because, you know, that's his thing, bro. That's all
of our thing. Wu-Tang.
Right? And then we had a couple of surprises in there, too, like Adrian mentioned earlier before we started the show. Mr. Marlon West, who's a longtime animator, man. And an OG of sorts to the game for animation. So it was a great panel, man. It was a great panel. I couldn't have asked for better in terms of conversation, in terms of the way they wanted, the way it headed. There were a couple things I wanted to address, but you know, that's me. You know, this is about them, and I think overall the everything was addressed in a very spherical and completionist manner through all the different guests that were on.
Now, I did want to add a couple of panelists that you meant to mention. One was Bree Henderson.
Bree Henderson, that's right.
She is a colorist. She's done stuff like Guava Island. And I think she has something coming up for DC, Nubia. So Wonder Woman spinoff.
Okay. And also, she mentioned that she, in a panel, she mentioned that she was going to be pitching to Netflix. I don't know how that went, but hopefully it went well for you.
Oh, that's right.
So good luck, Bree. Hopefully that went well for you.
Yeah, and then Michael Wandy. Concept artist, I think, for The Mandalorian.
That's right.
Your
that's
show.
Right. That's right. That's right.
Westworld, yeah, your
exactly.
show.
Exactly.
But yeah, you really had some heavy hitters
really
on there,
really
man.
Did,
for
man.
Real.
Really did. It was great, man. It was great.
now, before I jump into me recounting my panel, I did want to mention about the event itself, Lightbox Expo.
Let's do that.
Now, did it start back in 2019?
Yes.
Was 2019 the first
year?
Yes,
1 year old, man. So it's like,
okay.
Yeah. So it's pretty impressive that they're able to accomplish, to readjust so rapidly and efficiently.
Oh, yeah. They absolutely
did. You know,
did.
I mean, they nailed it, dude. I was very, very impressed by
yeah.
that. So, but yeah.
Yeah, and, go ahead.
I was going to mention it was a spectacular success adapting this year's COVID isolation era with style and grace, expanding possibilities of ways and participating in a digital setting beyond the convention wall. So,
yeah, and you know the thing is, I went around in that virtual realm, you know, just to kind of check out the convention.
Yeah.
And man, you know, I got to tell you, my arms were folded. you know, as they are wont to be about many things. But I was walking, well, not walking around, but virtually walking around, say. And, you know, just trying to check out the scene. And I got to tell you, you know, the organizers and everybody, they really put on a show. It was seamless. Tons of exhibitors, virtual exhibitors.
Hundreds.
Yes, literally. I mean, they had 10 aisles of them, you know, and it's so crazy. It's like I almost got tired physically going around and looking at everything like I would at an actual convention. Like, it was crazy. Like, I had to take a break for about 5 minutes because I wanted to see kind of everything. I wanted to make sure I looked at every booth.
Right.
Because the navigation system that they had really, really worked. I mean, you were able to, you know, proceed down the aisles, look to your left or your right, you know, go booth by booth, you know.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, and then once you clicked on the particular booths of an artist, you know, everything was in there, you know, just like you would at an actual convention. You know, they had prints for sale, so you can click on a link to that. You can see their portfolio. You know, it was just very well done. And also the number of other panels besides our own that they had, too. And I was looking over the lineup and, you know, if I had more time, you know, over the weekend, I would have loved to have gone to many of them.
Right.
You know, but I mean, it was nearly 24 hours a day because you have people from across the globe.
It was. It was 72 hours straight. It was 3 days straight across different time zones. So it's like, it was incredible, man. It was an incredible accomplishment. And it should probably be in the Guinness Book of World Records. I don't think anybody's been to a convention for 3 days straight. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's, you know, and I don't think, of course, the principals probably weren't there for 3 days straight because, of course, everybody's got to sleep in different time zones. But the idea and concept behind being something that's going on for that long is just incredible. Incredibly immersive.
Let me ask you one more thing, man.
Sure.
You know, while we're talking about, you know, Lightbox, I guess in general about virtual conventions, you know, with the situation going on in the world right now, and obviously as of this recording, we're not sure when it's going to end or anything like that. Do you really see like virtual conventions being something more viable? Now, full disclosure on my part,
right?
I don't want it to replace physical conventions, especially like this is selfish, but like comic book conventions,
right?
No, I need to go to the low boxes and I need to be digging. But besides comic book conventions, right, we'll take that off the table,
right?
Say more art related conventions like your Light Boxes, even your Spectrum,
sure,
you know, Spectrum Art Lives and things of that nature, ElixCon, do you see like this now as being like a wave of the future, you know, for those type of conventions to still flourish and thrive with these conditions?
I do, because I think a lot of ways it won't take the place of them, but it will be a nice addendum once things go back to some of actual normalcy. And I think that what's going to happen is that for those that can't get in the four walls, it will allow them to still experience more or less the same kind of event that everybody else is experiencing. Because honestly, nothing can take the place of Ian McKay giving you a review on your portfolio person to person.
In person. Oh, yes.
Nothing can take the place of George Pratt, you know, doing a freak show for you in person, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those things. Meeting Adrian Johnson in person is not the same as meeting Adrian Johnson online.
I don't know about that, but well, appreciate you.
It's really not. So it's a thing wherein the physical thing will still be a physical thing because that's who we are as people. We need to coalesce and interact.
Yeah.
As soon as we can do that, trust me, we're going to be off and running doing that again. And I actually look forward to going to a comic convention, at least not going through the long boxes entirely, at least going through seeing a physical comic and touching it and being able to see people like do actual artwork in person. That's still a thing which I look forward to. I look forward to, like, one of the things the booths were missing, and this is no fault to Bobby and the execution at all,
sure,
was the interpersonal touch of seeing somebody there to greet you and, hey, you know, it's good to see you. And hey, don't I know you from somewhere? Or, hey, come by my booth. And, you know, those props and things you get from actually dealing with individuals. But I imagine at some point that could be addressed, too, online.
I think so, you know? That's a good idea, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, like you could have, like, even if it's a general greeting or something.
Yeah, it could be, you know, yeah. It could be a Sims-type situation, you know, where you have
a little doll, right, like,
right,
hi.
Right. Little Bobby icon at the schoolism table, yeah, you know.
That's too funny.
You know? I mean, don't get me wrong. They had three icons, which were cool. Yeah. You know, and relatable once you understand the story and what they are. You know, red, green, and blue. You know, I forgot their names exactly. Sorry about that. But they were basically, they form light. You know, red, green, and blue form light. So you put them together and they made the light box.
That's, oh, damn!
Yeah, that's the animation was about, right? That's pretty tight, right?
Oh, snaps!
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Dang, very clever.
You know, as usual, as this body.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Dang.
And the whole creation of those characters was spearheaded by K.R. Sedera, you know? So it was awesome. It was awesome. Great job on that, guys. So I felt like that was a nice warming thing that you guys put together for us to understand and stuff, so...
Absolutely. And you rolled a perfect segue. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Chaos Sedera, mm-hmm. that's a perfect segue to my panel. And my panel was actually on Sunday the 13th. Mm-hmm. And it was on creature creation.
Yeah.
You know, designing characters and animals for the entertainment industry. And, you know, I had a great lineup of panelists. And they were doing the same thing that they were doing in Dwight's panel as well. Mm-hmm. They were all working on one big canvas, one big, you know, jam piece of art, right. You know, while they were taking questions and basically discussing the subject.
Right.
And my panelists included, obviously, K.R. Sedera.
Right.
You know her from Alice in Wonderland, you know, many other projects. Mm-hmm. You got Christian Alsman, mm-hmm. Visual artist, storyboard artist, concept artist for things like The Mandalorian, amongst others.
And concept art winner this year as well. He won the concept art award this year. Christian Alsman.
They did mention that. Yeah. So congrats to Christian. And then you got Natalie Hall, mm-hmm. World famous tattoo artist, but she also designed the creature from The Shape of Water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I was like, oh, wow. And just, her artwork is just so full of energy with her animals and everything. It's just like, oh, man. Yeah. I mentioned that in the panel, too. And then next you have Peter Hahn,
mm-hmm.
Who has a course called Drawing from Imagination that some of our listeners and viewers may have seen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he has great insight into how he does things, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. that he related in the panel. Next you have Bryn Metheny,
mm-hmm.
you know, and now we've met Bryn before in person,
right.
At the last, exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, and it was good to kind of reacquaint myself with her and her work as well via the panel,
mm-hmm.
you know. Then next, you got Carla Ortiz.
Of course. The character creator extraordinaire.
Oh, yes, yes.
And she's
yes.
the character herself extraordinaire.
Yeah. Absolutely.
She's awesome. Great personality, man.
Tons of fun. Oh, yep, man. Yep. Such a spark plug, yep. man. Then you got Roberto Padula.
Very nice.
And yeah, he was a new one for me.
Right.
You know,
me too.
This is the first time I had been exposed to him and his work, you know, and just very, and during the panel, I had kind of put him and K.R. Sedera together in terms of the same question.
That was good.
Because they both have that whimsical, mm-hmm. you know, aspect to their work and so full of life, you know, as far as like, you know, inventing these creatures and so forth. So his stuff is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then lastly, we have what I would call the grand dame
exactly.
of character design, creature design,
right.
Terrell Whitlatch.
Exactly, exactly. Hello.
And, you know,
exactly. She's very much like, she's very much like the queen mother of the industry, dude. You know?
Oh, yes.
You know, she's got a list as long as both of our arms put together and you know, and it encompasses a grand design of things. I mean, and I mean that with utmost regard and respect. She's incredible.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny. It's very interesting to see how the other artists on the panel, you know, kind of related to her.
Sure.
Like for a lot of the questions, they say, "Hey, you may want to ask Terrell that. I think Terrell can take it." You know, and she would. She broke it down for you.
Yeah, man.
You know.
Yeah, man.
And it was great to also reacquaint myself with her as well, because I actually did a panel live with her at
the Spectrum. Right.
Yeah, Spectrum Art Live 2014. So she remembered me when we did a practice run a couple of days before.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah, I hosted a panel with you actually, you know, a few years ago. She was like, oh, yeah, I remember you.
Right.
So it was just cool.
That was awesome.
So, yeah, it was just great. Both of our panels, both Dwight and mine, They're available on sidebarforever.com in a podcast form. Mm-hmm. You can also go to our YouTube channel to see the visuals, which I definitely recommend.
Definitely. I mean, that's what this is about in the situation. It was definitely a total visually impacting medium. And you guys would do yourself a serious service to go and see. Actually, see both of them. You listen to us, mm-hmm. but then go see it. And seeing is believing. And you'll see exactly what we're talking about. And while you're there, check out all the Lightbox Expo, other related items that are there, because everything there is a serious service to the industry in regards to, you know, for those who just want to see it for their entertainment value, and for those who just want to see it for learning, it's all there to embrace you and give you a good head start.
Yeah, and you know, and one last thing in regards to Lightbox, the app that they were using, mm-hmm. Magma Studio.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, man.
That right there.
Man, I've been jamming on it myself, man, and you're going to jam on it some more, man. It's definitely, that's a gift to the world, sir. That's like,
it is.
You know, not to go into hyperbole, but that's like Prometheus giving fire to the natives, man. I mean, you know, for those people who don't have opportunity, like we just discussed before, in various situations to utilize a quality software that is on par with Photoshop and Painter. This gives you that same tactile, those same tool sets that you need to be able to accomplish an image. But with the added benefit of doing it together.
Yeah.
So if you want to art direct somebody, or if you want to get in there and jam with somebody, you can totally do it together on the same page, your own private page, to create something that's just fantastic, you know, and on par professional stuff. So
yeah.
Magma Studio Online is an awesome thing, man.
I definitely agree. I definitely agree. Speaking of, you know, just some of the cool stuff and everything, we did have some unfortunate, you know, passings recently that we wanted to make mention of.
Right, right.
You know, foremost is Mr. Chadwick Boseman, mm-hmm. who actually passed back on August 28th of this year.
Yeah.
You know, and that was a very solemn day. Mm-hmm. I got to tell you, because I think it took everyone by surprise. Like,
it did.
You know, how did you feel when you heard about it?
Man, I was like, it was like, wow. I was not believing it. I was like, is this right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the first thing I saw, you know, I follow many people on Instagram, and the first alert I saw was Dave Bautista, you know, wrestler fame, who's getting his due now. He's playing various different kinds of movie characters and things, but his first successful outing was in a Marvel movie as Drax the Destroyer.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, man, he in his feed is like, he's like, rest in peace. He said rest in peace. He said something like, to my king. I was like, okay, that's a nice, Dave, that you know you're appreciating Chadwick that way. You know, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Because Dave is not one to shy away from politics. Dave was very much into, you know, Black Lives Matter and various other topical things of the day, and not just for bullshit purposes, because he's got reasons which he really agrees with those things. And I was like, okay, that's nice. And I was like, I actually read it. Or I saw a Twitter alert. I was like, wait a minute, what?
Mm-hmm.
Seriously? At 42 years old? You know, or 43 years old?
I think it was 43, yeah.
I'm like, what the hell? First it was like 42, and the first report was like 42, and then it went to 43. It's like, wait, that can't be right, man. And it's like, he had died of colon cancer. It's like, really?
Mm.
And all that time, man, it was like, all that time, all the movies that he was in, I think Beyond James Brown, leading into Black Panther, he had it. So his entire Marvel career was when he was fighting cancer.
Yeah, and you know, and what's so ironic about it, man, is that, you know, nobody ever knew. I mean, look how in shape and powerful he looked in Civil War and Black Panther. Yeah.
Poise, man, and
wow.
Yeah. Didn't skip a beat, man. You know. And you know, the entire time he was fighting it, he was going to and giving interviews and for children that had cancer, and going to with fellow castmates, you know, Lupita Nyong'o and escapes me right now. I was going to call her Okoye, and you know, he was going there, and he broke down one time, and it was like, man, it was like, that hit me. It was like, wow, this guy is going through so much, but he's so relatable. Like he everybody he spoke to and engaged with, he was very, very sincere and very, very real. And invested a lot in people, man. He played a lot of different roles besides Black Panther. But of course, that's the one which of course I hold dear because I'm a Marvel guy. That's my lane. But you know, many others: Jackie Robinson, James Brown. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm.
Thurgood Marshall.
You know, it's really gone too soon, man. It's a pain which everybody's feeling, in our community especially, which I'm coping with now differently than I did before in the beginning. It really fucked me up, to be honest with you, man. Because as an artist, you realize the expanse of time, and you realize the how limited things are. Everything is so, because everything for us is so compressed anyway, because everything we do takes so much time, and time just escapes us, man. And to see how much he was able to cram in such a short time on a film. And it was good quality characters, man. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, these weren't, this wasn't a BS, lightweight, portfolio. This is a full, you know, portfolio that many artists of his kind and our kind will want to see. You know, everybody wants to have that ability to play or have a role which meant something. All his roles meant something, you know.
Man, and then you know we also had one that just hit, I believe, this past Friday.
Yeah,
Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Yeah, profound, strong little lady, man. the notorious RBG, man. For you know, just a stalwart, pivotal figure in social justice, man. These people are you know, the their compatriots like salute her, and people recognize her for being this full-bodied, engaging and righteous person, man, that was there to see everybody keep their civil rights, man, and gain their civil rights, man, and engage about women's rights and see, you know, make sure everybody is held in the same esteem.
You know, she had a reputation apparently as a quote unquote cautious jurist.
Right.
And you know, I just think it's funny how people put that onto her as if it's like a scarlet letter.
Right.
Oh, she's a cautious jurist. You would want your jurist or someone who's judging you or adjudicating to be cautious,
right,
to consider and weigh all the factors before deciding something,
right,
that could legitimately affect your life.
Right. Right.
You know?
Right.
And so, you know, she definitely, you know, did that. You know, Ginsburg definitely, you know, had that deserved reputation.
Yeah.
You know, she was first nominated by Bill Clinton in 93.
Exactly.
Yeah. And she was the second woman to serve on the court after Sandra Day O'Connor. And I think Sandra Day O'Connor retired.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was the only female justice until Sonia Sotomayor in 2009, mm-hmm, appointed by President Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And then Elena Kagan in 2010.
Okay.
So now, well, there were, you know, with her and the other two, three women,
right,
serving at the same time on the court,
right,
you know. And like you mentioned, she was such a champion of social justice, mm-hmm, and gender equality.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so amazing to see how well spread she was throughout popular culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was almost beloved, mm-hmm, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and keeping it with comic circles, you know, do you know that she didn't appear in Deadpool 2 in person, but they showed a picture of her, you know, when Deadpool is like going through like candidates for his team or whatnot. He's like, no. And he showed a picture.
Really?
of Ginsburg.
That's so awesome. Like,
maybe not right now.
Right.
You know.
Right. Yeah, man. She was a Spitfire, dude. And thing is, it was her decision making ability that made her the Spitfire. She was very reserved, very calm, like you said, very well gauged and thought about her various executions and words that she used, which something we can use more in today's society.
Absolutely.
And it's just crazy, man, the way people are just dropping this year, dude. I mean, we lost so much this year, dude. 2020 has been a year for the record books, man, as far as loss goes.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? So, rest in power, rest in peace. Yeah, Chadwick, man, will always be the Black Panther, man, no matter who they get to, you know, replace him in the formal icon and the formal canon in the movies. Mm-hmm. It'll always be Black Panther to me, man. I mean, he put his mark on that role.
That concludes this episode of Sidebar Forever, hosted by Dwight Clark, Swain Hunt, and Adrian Johnson. You can find us online at sidebarforever.com. Any emails or questions can be directed to us at sidebarforever@gmail.com. And also, subscribe to us on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram. Sidebar Forever is copyright 2020. Dwight Clark, Swain Hunt, and Adrian Johnson.